Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
This hour of Bump and Stacy is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. And I know that everyone enjoyed that game last night, even the people who were complaining about the lack of offense, because I'm sorry, the pitching was absolutely phenomenal. Defense for the Mariners, absolutely phenomenal. Base running for the Yankees, hilarious.
Love it.
There was nothing not to enjoy about that game, Bump, with the exception of maybe you would have liked more than one run in the form of an RBI single, but that's fine. I digress. I'm not complaining after that game last night.
No, I mean, last night was like a 9-12 football game, right?
Yeah.
Not exciting in offensive production, but exciting in so many other places, man. You've had great defensive plays. You got dealing on the mound by both starting pitchers. You got the relievers coming in and keeping the good times rolling. That was a old school pitcher's duel type of game, and I never thought that I would enjoy it as much as I did last night.
Yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal. Curtis, where would you rank that one, by the way, in terms of like the best Mariners games this season? I think it was personally the game I enjoyed most, and this is not hyperbolic, since last year's win over the Astros.
Well, yeah, I think in terms of my, maybe it's recency bias, but I mean, just how every pitch mattered in last night's game, going from about the sixth inning onward, I would put it as my number one, especially because of just the pitching duel between Castillo and Cole, and then you had both bullpens just throwing flames. Everybody just had no shot on both teams at making contact last night. And like, just feeling the intensity of the game from last night, it was an August night. Like, think about what that game would have felt like in October. Like, I'm still, you know, I got goosebumps this morning waking up thinking about that game. Like, man, like, we really did witness that. Imagine if that happened 2 months later. Like, I don't know if I would have been able to make it through. It would have been just the amount of pressure, the amount of nerves watching that game last night. That is a feeling that I want to experience, even though it was stressful in the moment.
Goldsmith said, only thing that's missing is the crisp air and leaves falling. He's like, this had an October type of feel, man. It was very stressful, but a stress that I will endure as many times as I can if that means that this team is playing the baseball that we saw last night and that they're in the game and in the fight against the Yankees. And also what I loved before the show, we were talking about it, just the reaction from Yankees fans. Like,
yeah,
they are losing their stuff off of that game last night. It's beautiful.
Well, that's why when I'm talking about, so we opened the show by talking about the winners and losers from last night, but moving forward, I'm sorry, there are going to be some people that disagree with me on this one. I think there's no way the Mariners are losers in whatever happens today. A win matters, okay? Winning absolutely matters. Beating the Yankees absolutely feels great. And taking this series, the second series you would have taken against one of the best teams in baseball this year, will feel phenomenal.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't think many national experts expect the Mariners to be able to truly, truly, truly compete with the Yankees, with the Mets, with the Dodgers. I know these are across leagues, but with the cream of the crop in MLB this year. And so to me, it's like a win-win. If the Mariners win, phenomenal, you won. If you lose but it's close, people are looking at your roster saying, well, I mean, you don't have Julio, right? You don't have, I don't know if Winker will be back out there. I'm guessing maybe he gets another day off. We'll see. Oh, the lineup came out. Winker already with another day off. So, I mean, you're without some of your best hitters. It's just, I feel like the expectations are such that the Mariners come out winners either way.
No, there are some teams that experts will never pick the Mariners to beat just off of their lineup alone. But the Mariners are a team that you just can't sleep on. You know, like, they're going, I mean, you've beaten the Mets already. If you've gone down to the Bronx, you took care of them. You took care of the Astros earlier this year. It's like, yeah, no one expects you to really get it done, but they also know that you cannot sleep on them because they've shown that they can get hot at moments. And if pitching is on point, you can get extremely hot. So that's what we're hoping from Robbie Ray tonight, man, is go out there, ride the Castillo wave, and get her done.
Curtis, you've mentioned before, going back to that Astros game, you said, well, here's the problem with the Mariners, is that sometimes after meeting a big moment, they failed to actually build on it. They failed to actually keep it going. The Astros series was a big part of that. And you lost a lot of momentum with the Kendall Graveman trade. There are some people that will disagree with me and say that that's not the case. I think that it certainly impacted the mood around the team. But you were right. In that case, in that series, the Mariners lost the series. They struggled after that. They lost the following game. And I think that I don't quite see this series as being the same. Though I do think it could be a testament to this team if they do follow up a win like that with another win today.
Yeah, and as we know in baseball, momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher, and you've got Nestor Cortez going for the Yankees, and you've got Robbie Ray going for the Mariners, so you're going to have to come with it once again if you want to come out with a victory today. And look, last night was great. It can be even greater, and it can mean even more if you go on a bit of a run here after winning that emotional game. Like, that was an emotionally exhaustive game for all of us as fans and all of us as listeners and as watchers of that game. I can't imagine how emotionally exhaustive it was being in that dugout, being on the field, being one of those guys coming in from the bullpen with the game on the line and a runner starting out on second base every single inning, and that runner not crossing home plate after some of the most improbable base running mistakes we've seen in recent memory. You've got to be able to spin this forward. You've got to be able to use this as a launching pad, or else the momentum from last night is only confined to last night.
Now, I never thought I would hear this, but I'm going to bring it back up because we were talking about it during the break. And Bump, I don't know if it was you or Curtis who mentioned it, but why is Haggerty batting eighth?
The eighth spot. What is he batting, 323? The eighth spot.
Yeah.
It's wild.
He's your hottest bat.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess. Leave him there. Maybe he likes the spot. I don't know. I would love to ask Service that question, but we only talk to him on Tuesdays.
Yeah, true. I mean, it is fascinating, though, what he's been able to do. Am I wrong in thinking that a lot of that is just good luck and timing?
I think luck is always involved in sports.
Most certainly. Especially
right now, exactly. Don't apologize, Sam. Keep producing. Keep doing you.
All right. Well, also happening today, Robbie Ray with another start, and he's going to have to get deep into this game. I am worried about your bullpen arms after that game, as fun as it was and as dominant as those arms were. Guys, Robbie's got to pitch late into this one.
Yeah, Robbie's got a opponent show, and it's a quick turnaround, right? Only got a few hours of sleep. You show up to the ballpark. You go through your routine. So he has to do what he is paid to do, to go out here and not necessarily dominate because you are playing the Yankees, but give the Mariners opportunities to stay in the game. And I think he knows that. Of course he knows that. He's a pro. He's been in this league for a long time. He understands the severity of the situation. Mm-hmm. So I just hope that the first two innings, if he can get through the first two innings and we're still in it, nothing's falling apart, then I feel good about it. Because when Robbie doesn't play well, those first two innings look really bad.
I also, I know that we've talked about this, but I feel like the thing I can't get over is the crowd. Like, I can't get over the feeling that had. And Scott Service was asked about it last night, just kind of like, hey, the crowd was really on their feet, watching with bated breath. It sure felt like playoff baseball, or did it feel like playoff baseball to you? And Scott Service was basically like, well, I don't know. I mean, we gotta be able to get there and see how it feels. But I don't know. I just feel like maybe I'm not thinking of more recent examples, but we've just come so tantalizingly close to that feeling a couple times. That game being the most recent example this year, the games late in the year last season, coming close to that. And I just, sometimes Seattle gets knocks for feeling like fans aren't as involved, or you know what I mean, the way that they are with maybe some New York team, with the Mets, with the Yankees, whatever. And I think that part of that is like, well, first of all, Seattle has been a baseball town before. Secondly, this is a team that hasn't made the playoffs
exactly.
for a while. You got to give them something to stand up for. You got to give them something to cheer for and give them something to get excited about. And once you do, you've seen that park fill up. Once you've given them a team that is above 500, you've seen that park fill up.
You give them a team they can root for and a lineup that has some names on it. That's the thing that New York, the Dodgers, they're always going to have the names. They're going to go out and spend that money and always be in contention. So, yeah, say what you want about it, but if you're not winning, why are our families going to go out there and spend $80 on a ticket per head, $120 at concession stands, $40 to $50 to park? Like, it has to be worth it. Everyone's not balling out
well,
here.
Well, that's the thing. And not only that, but, I mean, you want to talk about if you're someone that's like, I just want the park to be an experience for people. And, you know, maybe you want to just make money. I don't know, whatever, you know, you might look at this game and feel that you want to take away from it. You know what gets people excited? Winning games.
Yep.
You know what sells parks out and gets you a lot of money? Winning games.
Yep.
And I feel like that's the kind of momentum this team can ride. I don't know if it comes with a win over the Yankees today. I don't know if it comes with trying to inch their way up and take one of the early wild card spots. But whatever it is, I dig it. I co-sign it. I love this feeling. And I am one of many, many people who have never experienced playoff baseball, at least like in memory. And yeah. So it's... I don't know. I want more of this feeling. That's the feeling I had leaving this game, of everything. How great Castillo was. How great the bullpen arms were. Every single moment. How good you feel for Torrens. The one feeling I had leaving it was like, I want more of that. Wow, that feeling's really addictive.
Yeah, and I hope a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
Because then they're going to show up to the ballpark, because you have a team that's over 500, that's already beat the Yankees in the Bronx, that beat them last night in dramatic fashion. Like, mm-hmm. There's reason for people to show up now. So will I be surprised if another 38,000 show up tonight or today? No, nope. I wouldn't be. Now it's a 1 o'clock game. People got to work and all that stuff. But I wouldn't be surprised if the stands are full again, because the team is giving them something to believe in.
Yeah.
And you have a roster that at times you're like, okay, if everyone's healthy and doing their thing, we can compete with anybody.
Now, we don't have Hype Train today, but here's the deal with the two of you, you Bump and you Curtis. Scenario, ready? This team is, these two teams are tied four each in the eighth. Sam Haggerty, Swaggerty at the plate.
Swags.
Is he intentionally walked for a third time in the series?
Yes, he is. Give that man his respect.
Right.
They showed it
last night.
They skirt. Are you zero? They skirt.
All right, this hour of Bump and Stacey is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Let's get to four down territory.
This is four down territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Aaron Rodgers says there's no benefit to playing one series in a preseason game. Is he right?
For him, he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Back-to-back MVP, Super Bowl champ, one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the league
ayahuasca right
now. I mean, what's one series going to do for Aaron Rodgers? He's played in so many games. He's been in so many situations. There isn't a situation in football that Aaron Rodgers has not been in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can say, okay, you lost a couple weapons. You lost Davante Adams. Maybe you want to build some chemistry with a receiver. He goes, nah, man, let the future, let Love go out there and try to find himself as a quarterback in this league. As far as Aaron Rodgers, man, he's already shown that he can do it without preseason. He hasn't been in the preseason since, what, 2018,
yeah.
2019?
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, he's got back-to-back MVPs in those years and had nothing to do with preseasons. There are levels to this. Aaron Rodgers is on that level to where he don't need no preseason.
Also, I mean, you got to worry about injuries, too. I'm trying to think, when's the last time that maybe, like, a superstar? The thing is, superstars rarely play in the preseason, but I'm trying to think if there was a time when anyone was injured in the preseason that might have prompted that. In my mind, the thing that really was a catalyst was Sean McVay's Rams being like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah. All it takes is one person to kind of do it and then show that you can win without doing that. People are like, okay. Because football and sports in general, it's tradition, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, stuff is passed down. This is the way that we do things. So people are afraid to break the mold. But when someone does and they have success, then other people start to buy into the idea of it.
All right, second down. Other than the Seahawks versus the Steelers this Saturday, August 13th, which preseason game are you most interested in watching?
Man, I want to see the Panthers versus the Commanders. I want to see the battle between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and how that is going to play out. Man, I think Baker Mayfield should have a hold on this thing, right? But the rule is saying, look, I'm not going to announce the starter until what, the 15th or 16th. Let's see how this thing plays out. So what if Baker goes out there and he does not perform and he doesn't look good? He opens up the door for Sam Darnold. Do we start looking at Baker Mayfield differently? What if he doesn't win this starting job? Is he now a career backup in this league? I think this game and this situation is bigger for Baker Mayfield than people are really making it out to be, because it's not a guaranteed thing. I expect him to win this job.
Yeah.
I expect him to look like the guy, but you still got to go out and prove it. I want to see the Panthers versus Commanders.
Here's some other games. So you have preseason games starting tomorrow, actually.
Love it.
Giants and Patriots.
Okay.
Titans and Ravens. Okay. On Friday, Falcons, Lions. Browns, Jags.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, I don't mind that one.
Uh-huh.
Jets, Eagles, also on Friday.
Yeah.
Cardinals, Bengals on Friday. You got one more on Friday. This is the one I'm most excited to see. How about Packers, 49ers?
Packers, Niners. Well, we know Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play.
No, but we know Trey Lance, Lance will.
Trey Lance is going to play
game one and game three.
Yep. Debo won't be out there as much. But, yeah, I want to see what the young man looks like. See what number five looks like. Has he grown over the past year?
Now, this is one I'm interested to see, and it doesn't make any sense, but it is what it is. Chiefs, Bears. Why? Because I think the Bears are a mess right now.
You just want to see how sloppy it is over there?
Well, here's the thing. With the Chiefs, Bears, a lot of the players that you're going to see out there for the Bears might actually be who they roll out in the regular season. Like, there aren't a lot of, like, number one receivers they're going to be resting. Those guys need reps. They need to get out there.
No, we're not going to see is N'Keal Harry.
No,
I'm not going to see him.
No, you're not. Oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, I'll read you through the rest of the schedule very quickly. These games all happening Saturday. Colts, Bills, Seahawks, Steelers, obviously. Dolphins, Bucks, Saints, Texans, Cowboys, Broncos. Also not expecting you're going to see Russell Wilson out there. Third down. How do you see the playing time being split between Geno and Locke this weekend?
Well, we know that Geno is going to get the nod. And I think Geno plays as long as he doesn't look good, right? If he's playing and he doesn't look good, he's going to keep playing. I think he'll play into the second quarter if he doesn't look good. Now, if he looks sharp,
two, three
series, you take him out, then Drew Lock comes in. Drew Lock is going to play deep into the third quarter. And then after that, I think Jacob Eason takes this thing over. So, like I mentioned earlier, Drew Lock is going to have so many opportunities to try and take this job from Geno. What he needs to get the job is for Geno not to look good when he gets his series, which I don't think is going to happen. I think Geno's going to look like a professional quarterback. But if Geno doesn't look good, he's got to come out and be spectacular. He's got to roll out, throw a dart down the sideline. He's got to make guys miss. They got a couple designed quarterback runs for him. He's got to break one for 25, 30. He has to look spectacular for him to catch up to Geno at this point. So Geno plays as long as he doesn't look good. If he looks good, boom, boom, he's in, he's out. Drew Lock plays deep into the third quarter, and then the Lake Stevens native, Jacob Eason, takes over from there.
I think what I'm curious to see is, as high as people were on both Drew and Geno, for that matter, during the mock game, both quarterbacks fell apart in the second half. So I'm curious to see a Drew Lock compete in the third. Like, he's probably going to look fine to start, but I'm curious to see, like, what does Drew Lock do when he makes mistakes? How does he bounce back, and how soon do those mistakes happen, and how frequently?
Drew Lock and Geno, they're like my golf game on a bad day. Like, you come out the first three or four holes, like, oh, I feel good, course record, let's go. And then you fall apart because you're hungry and the heat and all that stuff. So don't look like my golf game on a bad day. Be it on a good day.
Curtis,
when I shot that 77. Let's go.
Oh, man. I was just going to say, we are dangerously close to Bump mentioning that he shot a 77 territory. That's another dollar in the 77 jar. Fourth down. Who's a player to watch this preseason that no one is talking about?
No one's talking about this man. And he was an undrafted free agent out of Utah, Britton Covey. He's 25 years old. He spent like 7 years over there with Utah. He's great in the punt return game. In 2020, he averaged, 16.1 yards per punt return. He had a 97-yard kick return to the house against Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. And Sirianni loves him over there. He reminds me, he could be a Hunter Renfrow. He's a slot guy. He's nice and quick. He's under control. He has good hands. Big playability. No one's talking about this guy. Utah's been low-key running the Pac-12 for like 2 or 3 years
now.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
Great defense, solid offense. Coach does a great job over there. But I got the chance to break down film with this young man with my work with the Pac-12. And Britton Covey, man, watch this dude. I think he's going to make some noise this preseason and then into the regular season.
Can I take a step back? Rather than undrafted guys who actually will be playing in the preseason, how about drafted rookies that you're curious to see? Because we're not going to see a ton of those guys in the preseason. But guys you're going to have your eye on. I know you're high on Sky Moore with Kansas City.
Yep.
We might be seeing him in the preseason.
I think so. And I think Drake London down there in Atlanta, the USC receiver. Dude can do it all. He's not extremely fast. He's not going to blow by you, but has great routes. Good body control, great hands. Played basketball at USC as well, so you know that he's a great athlete. And he's going to get the rock. They got Kyle Pitts over there. They got Mariota. They got him as well. I think he'll get a lot of targets. He's rocking the number 5, so you know I got love for him there. I think Drake London is going to be a good one.
Can I ask you guys something? Now, I can bring this up during timeline, but I'm going to bring it up now just since we have like 2 minutes left here, and I couldn't stop thinking about it during the break. Seth Wickersham, who's an ESPN senior writer, has a feature that he wrote up on Sean McVay. So I get that, like, first of all, I get that Sean McVay is incredibly talented and has done incredible things with this Rams team. Don't get me wrong. You've been to one Super Bowl. You've gone to another Super Bowl and won that one. You've dominated. That being said, this is what Seth Wickersham tweeted. I spent days over months this offseason with Sean McVay, who, at 36, has a chance to be one of the greatest coaches ever, maybe the greatest, if his private torment doesn't destroy himself first. So I get what you're doing is a tease, that it's like, what's the private torment? And I'm going to click on it. But I'm sorry. Saying someone has a chance to be the greatest, I mean, theoretically, sure, I guess, in that the future's undetermined. But do you know how many NFL head coaches you have to leapfrog to be the greatest?
This is why they're saying he could be the greatest, right?
We're victims of the moment.
Yeah, he's changed the game, right? Offenses look a bit different. There's a lot of coaches in his coaching tree who have left and done some good things. But you got to win multiple Super Bowls.
Man.
Yeah, we were talking about, what, Bill Belichick? Come on now. You're not passing the go. You're not even by Jimmy Johnson right now.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I think that we become victims of the moment a little bit. And we collectively, as people covering the NFL, also fall prey to this kind of like sexy football thing,
yeah.
Right? Who's the sexy offensive-minded guru that's changing the game? And I get it, that's fun football. Like, don't get me wrong, I've enjoyed, as much as it's pained me, watching the Rams and the way that offenses have evolved. And you know that he's making waves when other people are hiring like cheap generic knockoff brands like Cliff Kingsbury or Zach Taylor, who actually has been decent with Cincinnati, leading them to a Super Bowl. But it's just, so you know that he is universally respected. I just think we become victims of the moment sometimes, and we romanticize things that are new and sexy and exciting.
He's charismatic. He's in Hollywood. You know what I mean? He was on Hard Knocks. You know what I mean? He's 36. A lot of time for him.
I've decided to be very Seattle, and that once something becomes cool, I'm done. I don't want it anymore. All right. We are going to wrap things up with This or That coming your way in 20. So I need your suggestions. It's kind of like a would you rather. You can get those sent in 206-421-3776. That's the Mac and Jack's text line. The timeline coming your way next.
This is The Timeline
with Bump and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
It is The Timeline on Bump and Stacey, reading you the top stories you're going to see on your own Twitter timeline. So let's get started with a tweet from just a couple seconds ago. From Mariners PR, we got some roster moves. All right, Diego Castillo is back. He's been reinstated from the 15-day IL. Dylan Moore also back, which y'all already knew. He's in today's lineup. He's been reinstated from the 10-day IL. Meanwhile, Kyle Lewis has been optioned to AAA Tacoma, and Brennan Bernardino has been optioned to AAA Tacoma. Brennan is left-handed reliever. So really the big takeaway for me is it's good to get Diego Castillo back, but also I feel really bad for Kyle Lewis.
Man, K-Lou, we talked about timing with Haggerty. Same thing with Kyle Lewis, man. Just getting hurt at the wrong time, coming back, not producing. I believe, what, BG said he was 4 for 41 or something like that.
Yeah.
0 for his last 13 to 15. It's just he didn't have enough time to get healthy and get back into his groove. And at the same time, other guys are performing and getting healthy. So it's a timing thing for K-Lou, man.
Well, it's just hard to watch him like work his way back. And you can see that he's not completely healthy. And knowing him at his best, when we've seen him just be look like AL Rookie of the Year, right, you know that there's still a gap between where he's working back from in that. One more bit of news here. It's not a roster move, but it is interesting. From Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times, he tweeted 4 minutes ago, Chris Flexen has been moved to the bullpen. Are we thinking that's a move for today, given the shortage of arms they're going to have to turn to? What do you guys think?
I think so. Has to be. What do you think, Rogers?
Yeah, I think so. Especially with the day off tomorrow, it kind of allows you to reset your rotation. You wouldn't really be skipping anybody's day on Friday if it comes to that. You've got the luxury of having six starting pitchers, which means you have one less reliever than I think Scott Service is comfortable with. And as we saw last night, Flexen was up in the pen in that 13th inning in case the game went to 14. Probably would have had Flexen pitch until the game ended, whenever that would be. So it makes sense to add another arm to the bullpen today. It's Chris Flexen, which is not necessarily somebody who I think a lot of people were thinking of, but with the day off tomorrow, it is advantageous to give yourself another reliever. Yes, it's somebody from the rotation, but you got to do it. Like, you don't want to have to waste anybody's club option or anything like that.
All right, so that is the latest. Diego Castillo and Dylan Moore are back. Brennan Bernardino and Kyle Lewis option to AAA Tacoma. Also, Chris Flexen pitching out of the bullpen today. All right, let's get to the timeline, and we are starting with the Yankees' comically bad base running last night. Let's start with cut number 13, Aaron Judge getting caught stealing.
Here we go. There's the kick. He's set in the stretch. The 0-2 pitch to Gleyber Torres. Judge goes. The pitch. Take it up high. Throw by Cal. One hop. Down to second. Got him! Great hands there by Adam Frazier on the one-hop throw by Cal Raleigh to get Aaron Judge the first time he's been caught this season trying to steal a base.
Yikes.
I just want to see Judge in person, 6'8", trying to steal a base. Now, granted, it's the first time he's been caught, but I can imagine a man that size trying to steal a base. I'm watching that game, I'm telling my son, I go, his big you-know-what better not try to steal this base. He's about to get caught up here, and he did get caught up. But, yeah, it's amazing how big and how athletic that dude is.
All right, Judge caught stealing in the seventh. Then in the tenth, Paul Sewald picks off Benintendi.
Sewald ready, needs a double play. We're straight to Benintendi, get a walking lead. Throw to third to get him in a rundown. Gino running him back to the bag. Now to Frazier. Frazier flips to JP, and they get the out. The runner at first, that's LoCastro. He moved up to second.
I don't know why this makes sense, but one of the funniest things in baseball is a rundown. I don't know how else to explain it. It's just, it is what it is. Something about a rundown is really
because there's
funny.
Nowhere you can go. There's nowhere you can go. You cannot get out the baseline.
That was playing in my head when we're going to get to the a play about two plays from now. First, we've got that wasn't the only time. So you have Benintendi getting picked off, Judge getting caught stealing. Then in the 11th, oh man, I was going to say poor Yankees fans, but I don't feel bad for them at all. Hicks lines into a double play.
And Duhar again a lead at second. Here's the stretch and the 3-1 pitch, swinging a line shot up in the air, making the catch. Frazier over to second, double play. Holy smokes! Aaron Hicks line drive, Frazier high in the air, pulls it down out of the sky, fires over to J.P. Crawford to double up and Duhar. What a play! Two outs for the Yankees here in the top of the 11th inning.
And finally, maybe the best play of the night, awesome. Certainly the weirdest play of the night. Cut 16, Brash's backhanded stop, and then a crazy double play.
1-2 pitch here to Kiner Falefa. The pitch, swung on a hit. Oh, backhanded by Matt Brash. He's got the runner hung up between second and third. It's the catcher, Trevino. He's meet, throw to second. They're going to get him. Here's Frazier, the tag, got him. Double play, are you kidding? That was phenomenal.
More like a behind-the-back backhand by Brash.
Yeah.
And then turns around, plays some baseball. And this just reminds me of, like, Culver City Middle School PE. Like, plays like that happen all mm-hmm. the time in mm-hmm. PE. But it was fun to watch. And I'm watching this go down. I'm like, not again. You can't. I can't believe this. Like, how many times are you going to be able to? Like, it's crazy watching that go down. But those are the type of plays that you need to beat a team like the Yankees, right? You got to get lucky sometimes. You got to have things go your way.
And let them beat themselves.
Exactly. They look like, I bet you if this were a high school team, they're up the next day and they're going over base running. Like, all right, guys, what do we do in certain situations? How do we handle this? It's nice to see the big boys look like mortals out there on the diamond.
And it was scrambling around, running off the base paths. Like, that was the weirdest part of it of all. Like, Yankees fans trying to justify it, being like, oh, he wasn't tagged. He just barely swiped him. And it's like, bro, this guy is, like, running into the outfield grass right now. He is trying to get out of here. Curtis, have you seen anything funnier than that rundown with that double play?
God, yeah. The Yankees just, they could not get out of their own way in extra innings last night, which is wild because they're one of the best teams in baseball. And it's just, had they simply gone station to station, had they not just lost all semblance of baseball fundamentals, they probably would have won last night or at least gotten a couple runs across in extra innings. But you know what? Like I said, don't apologize for being lucky. Don't apologize for the breaks that come your way. And the Mariners managed to get nearly all of them last night, especially in extra innings.
I have a bit more information on the Flexen stuff. Speaking of the timeline, showing up on my own timeline from Brandon Gustafson, SeattleSports.com. Tell me what you guys think about this. We mentioned from Ryan Divish, Chris Flexen moving to the pen. We didn't know if that was because of the shortage of arms today. It sounds like that's a bit more permanent. Brandon Gustafson saying... that Scott Service is talking about Flexen, says Flexen handled the move to the pen well and says right now it's best for the team. He said Kirby's workload managed game by game, no innings limit, but back to Flexen. He can and may start, but he won't piggyback Kirby. He'll be a reliever like other guys, but they know he can go multiple if needed. That sounds like a move.
It does. It is a move. I mean... He says it's what's best for the team right now, so I understand. I wonder how Flex feels about this, you know, because he's clearly a starter in this league. And, yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
I get it, though.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but it's I was wondering what they would do. I didn't know that they would do something as early, but I'm curious to see Flexen coming out of the pen in that case.
I'm intrigued that they're going with George Kirby as a starting pitcher, considering that he is – at pretty much the career high of innings that he's ever pitched. I mean, but Kirby has been great this season and is worthy of a rotation spot. Not to say that Chris Flexen isn't worthy of a rotation spot. He's been pretty consistent after about the month of April. I am surprised that it's not Kirby seeing a decrease in his starts here.
Yeah.
All right, last story in the timeline. On Tuesday, Pirates second baseman Rodolfo Castro was, you know, like you do in baseball. You're running the bases. He's sliding into third, and oops, his phone fell out of his pocket. Cut 17.
Castro slides into third. His phone comes out of his pocket. Now that's a first. And there's Adam Hamrick. Dude, your phone is down there. Hey, right there.
Why do you have your phone on you while you're...
Because it's baseball. You got so much time. You can throw your phone.
No.
You're in the dugout.
Bro, she's not going to text you. Like, I don't know what you're waiting for, but, like, it's not going to happen.
Was he home
right
or away?
It was an away game. They were playing in Arizona.
Tinder. He's on Tinder. He's lining it up for later. That's what he's doing.
Seeing all those singles in Scottsdale. That's what he's looking at.
I like the photo that was taken. It's like all over. The New York Post has it, but it's a couple different outlets of his phone just midway through the air while he's sliding into it. And it's just, why do you have your phone?
He didn't
even
realize it fell out either.
No, not at all. All right. We have a short show today. We are taking you into the Mariners pregame show at noon, meaning we're wrapping things up with this or that. You can get your suggestions in, basically, would you rather, to the Mac and Jack's text line 206-421-3776. This or that coming your way next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, it is this or that, brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, Electric. Here's how it works. It's kind of like a would you rather. Choose between two things. So I've got a couple listed here, but if you guys have ones you want to submit, you can text them now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 206-421-3776. This one from a listener. This or that, Seahawks go 2-15 or 7-10? I feel like it's got to be better than 7-10 to make it. 2-15 would be horrible,
yeah.
But you're guaranteed what? 1, 2, 3 pick.
I'll never roll with losing.
10-7 is a little more tempting.
7-10, I'll take 7-10 over 2 and whatever the heck. Do the math for me.
2-15.
2-15. No, thank you.
But even if it means a better draft pick.
Even if it means a better draft
at
pick.
At what point would you rather have a better draft pick? At no point.
At no point. I want to win.
What about you? You Seahawks go 2-15 or 7-10?
Boy, the worst spot to be in any sport is in the middle when you're not good enough to be a playoff contender or not bad enough to get a high draft pick.
Right.
I look at it from that, and look, people are going to hate this, but I would think 2-15 would be much more beneficial to finding the next quarterback. Than being 7-10. I know. He's trying to.
I want
to
win.
Yeah, I know.
This or that from the 206. Be in 110 degree heat or 0 degree cold.
110 easily.
110. Yeah, done. Especially if it's like an Arizona heat, like a dry heat, and not super humid. 0 degree. Nothing is more uncomfortable than being freezing. As annoying and uncomfortable as it is to be hot, nothing is worse than being cold.
I don't know, man.
What? No.
I think with zero, I can throw some layers on there. I've been in negatives before. I've played in negatives.
Oh,
so
God.
There are ways to get warm, and you can go in your house. You know what I mean? When it's hot, though, man.
The trick when it's hot is just don't move. Just don't move at all. Just be as still as you possibly
can. Lay down in front of the fan.
Seriously, be as still as you possibly can.
I don't know. Both are bad.
All right. Let's see. This or that, you got to choose one to have on the Seahawks. This or that, DK Metcalf or Jamal Adams.
Serious. This isn't nice. DK. I'll take DK.
Yeah, I think I'll take DK.
Yeah, I'll take DK. DK, Jamal's just been banged up a lot. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean he's not a great ball player, but I'd go with DK.
All right, this or that. The Mariners make, this is from the 425, the Mariners make a decent playoff run, or like a 7-game ALCS type, or another Seahawks Super Bowl.
This year? Or just something, one of those comes first?
Let's say this year.
Come on, with the Mariners.
Yeah.
All day. Need this. Come on. Let's go.
This or that, the Goldie silly hat call or the voice-breaking Fraley catch in Baltimore. Ooh! That's a good this or that from the 602.
Goldsmith.
Well, his Fraley call where it was Fraley.
Nah, Goldsmith the silly.
Here,
I like the silly.
Here's okay. The one from last night.
No, it's that one. It's that
it's
one.
It's the silly.
It's what a
show.
Silly hack. It's that's it. Curtis, what about you?
Man, the Fraley one, that went viral. Like, viral. I might go with that over the silly hack. But that was Goldsmith last night. And I don't want to butter him up too much because he's probably listening down the line because we're connected to the Mariners Stadium right now.
And he's a huge fan of Bumpin' Stacy.
Exactly.
Plus Curtis.
And I don't want to compliment him too much because he's got an ego about him. he was incredible on the call last night.
On point.
Incredible. Shout out to Aaron.
Yeah.
This
sure.
or that from Joey in Salt Lake. This or that. The Mariners win the World Series this year in dramatic fashion but then miss the playoffs for another 20 years. Or the Mariners go deep into the playoffs but never win a World Series for the next 20 years. I'm talking ALCS. I'm talking you've got some good runs. You're not the Twins. You are
I'm going with the
team.
World Series, man. It's all about winning. If you haven't noticed, if you give me a chance to win anything, I'm going to take it winning.
Curtis, you can
now.
Have a dramatic World Series win and then no playoffs for another 20 years, which means I need you to think about this. Within your lifetime, you will have the Mariners appear in one World Series
and
40 years of no playoffs and win it. And win it. Or you can go deep into the playoffs each year for the next 20 years, but you never get to win it.
I would take the one World Series title.
Heck
over
yeah.
The consistently deep playoff runs and no title. Yeah, that would be sufficient enough for me, is winning one World Series title and not even making the playoffs over the course of that 20-year stretch. Kansas City Royals, they won the World Series, I think, what was it, 2015?
Mm-hmm.
And they made it to the World Series the year prior to in 2014. Outside of those 2 years, I don't think they've made the playoffs since, like, 1982.
Well, and I feel like
Goodness.
That's how the Nationals are going to be. Not so bad, but where they beat the Astros in a World Series, and then they got rid of everyone, and now they have to rebuild. But I think most fans would be like, it was worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth it to get the win. Also, no one really remembers, like, hey, name me a really great Saints season that they didn't win a Super Bowl. Or name me a really great, Red Sox season they didn't win a Super Bowl. Just tell me everything that happened. Everyone remembers good stories, and good stories
have good endings. The 206 says, I believe we call that the Miami Marlins scenario, which is true.
Ooh.
They've only made the playoffs, I think, 3 times in their franchise history. 2 of those were World Series championships.
253, ask Bills fans how consistently fun deep
gosh.
Playoff runs are.
That's not nice.
Ugh. Horrible. All right, let's see. Curtis, do we have time for one more? Or
We've
are we
got
done
time.
Here? Okay, this or that, assuming he's perfectly healthy, Ty France or Mitch Haniger?
Oh, shucks. I'm going to go with... It's Ty France, man. Recent.
Ooh,
recent.
Perfectly healthy.
I love Mitch. Mitch is looking good, by the way, too.
He is.
But I go with Ty. I'm
Curtis.
Going with Ty.
Perfectly healthy. Ty France or Mitch Haniger?
I'm going to go with Ty France.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with...
Come on. Join
no,
us.
I'll go Mitch. I'll go Mitch just because...
Contrarian.
To be a contrarian and a healthy Mitch had a pretty solid year, I'm going to go ahead
yeah,
and say.
Not bad.
Yeah. When Ty can get that many home runs, I'll go Ty. Ty's easy to root for, though. I really like Ty France. All right. We are taking you around the diamond. Thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. The Mariners close out a series against the Yankees today. Robbie Ray gets the start. First pitch at 1:10 p.m. Pregame show starts immediately following us at noon. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company. Don't go anywhere. Pregame show coming your way right now.